Meghia. Thus have I heard. On a certain occasion the Exalted One was staying at Charlikar, on Charlikar Hill. On that occasion the Venerable Meghia was in attendance on the Exalted One. Then the Venerable Meghia came to the Exalted One, and on coming to him saluted him, and stood at one side. As he thus stood, he said to the Exalted One, I desire, sir, to enter Juntu village for alms quest. Do whatever you think it is time for, Meghia. So the Venerable Meghia, robing himself in the forenoon and taking ball and robe, entered Juntu village in quest of alms food, and after questing for alms food, there returned after his rounds, and after eating his meal went towards the bank of the river Kimikala, and on reaching it, while taking exercise by walking up and down and to and fro, he saw a lovely, delightful mango grove. At the sight of it he thought, truly lovely and delightful is this mango grove. A proper place, surely, is this for a clansman striving for concentration. If the Exalted One would give me leave, I would come here to this mango grove to strive for concentration. So the Venerable Meghia went to the Exalted One and sat down at one side. And as he sat thus, he told the Exalted One of his find and what he had thought, and said, If the Exalted One gives me leave, I would go to that mango grove to strive for concentration. At these words, the Exalted One said to the Venerable Meghia, Wait a little, Meghia. I am alone till some other monk arrives. Then a second time the Venerable Meghia said to the Exalted One, Sir, the Exalted One has nothing further to be done, has nothing more to add to what he has done. But for me, sir, there is more yet to be done. There is more to be added to what I have done. If the Exalted One gives me leave, I would go to that mango grove to strive for concentration. Then a second time the Exalted One replied, Wait a little, Meghia, I am alone till some other monk arrives. Then yet a third time the Venerable Meghia made his request, and the Exalted One replied, Well, Meghia, what can I say when you talk of striving for concentration? Do what you think it is time for, Meghia. Accordingly, the Venerable Meghia rose from his seat, saluted the Exalted One with his right side, and went away to that mango grove, and on reaching it plunged into it, and sat down for the midday rest at the foot of a certain tree. Now as the Venerable Meghia was staying in that mango grove, there came habitually upon him three evil, unprofitable forms of thought, to wit, thoughts lustful, thoughts malicious, and thoughts harmful. Then the Venerable Meghia thought thus, It is strange, in truth, it is a wonderful thing, in truth, that I, who in faith went forth from home to the homeless, should thus be assailed by these three evil, unprofitable forms of thought, to wit, thoughts lustful, thoughts malicious, and thoughts harmful. So at eventide he arose from his solitude, and went to the Exalted One, and on coming to him said, Sir, while I have been staying in that mango grove, there came habitually upon me three evil, unprofitable forms of thought. Then, sir, I thought, It is strange, in truth, it is wonderful, in truth, that I should be assailed thus. Meghia, when the heart's release is immature, five things conduce to its maturity. What five? Here in Meghia, a monk has a lovely intimacy, a lovely friendship, a lovely comradeship. When the heart's release is immature, this is the first thing that conduces to its maturity. Then again, Meghia, a monk is virtuous. He abides restrained with the restraint of the obligations. He is perfect in the practice of right behaviour, sees danger in trifling faults. He undertakes and trains himself in the ways of training. When the heart's release is immature, this, Meghia, is the second thing that conduces to its maturity. Then again, Meghia, as regards talk that is serious and suitable for opening up the heart, and conduces to downright revulsion, to dispassion, to ending, to calm, to comprehension, to perfect insight, to nibbana, that is to say, talk about wanting little, about contentment, about solitude, about avoiding society, about putting forth energy, talk about virtue, concentration of mind and wisdom, talk about release, knowledge and insight of release. Such talk as this the monk gets at pleasure, without pain and without stint. When the heart's release is immature, Meghia, this is the third thing that conduces to its maturity. Then again, Meghia, a monk abides resolute in energy, for the abandoning of unprofitable things, for the acquiring of profitable things. He is stout and strong in effort, not laying aside the burden in things profitable. When the heart's release is immature, Meghia, this is the fourth thing that conduces to its maturity. Then again, Meghia, a monk is possessed of insight, endowed with the insight that goes on to discern the rise and fall, with the Aryan penetration which goes on to penetrate the perfect ending of ill. When the heart's release is immature, Meghia, this is the fifth thing that conduces to its maturity. Now, Meghia, this may be looked for by a monk who has a lovely intimacy, a lovely friendship, a lovely comradeship, that he will become virtuous, will abide restrained by the restraint of the obligations, be perfect in the practice of right behaviour, see danger in trifling faults, undertake and train himself in the ways of training. This, Meghia, may be looked for by a monk, that he will become virtuous, that he will undertake the ways of training, that he will get at pleasure, without pain and without stint, such talk as is serious about concentration of mind, insight of release. This, Meghia, may be looked for, that he will be possessed of insight to penetrate to the perfect ending of ill. Moreover, Meghia, by the monk who is established in these five conditions, four other things are to be made to grow, thus. The idea of the unlovely is to be made to grow for the abandoning of lust. Amity is to be made to grow for the abandoning of malice. Mindfulness of in-breathing and out-breathing is to be made to grow for the suppression of discursive thought. The consciousness of impermanence is to be made to grow for the uprooting of the pride of egoism. In him, Meghia, who is conscious of impermanence, the consciousness of what is not the self is established. He who is conscious of what is not the self wins the uprooting of the pride of egoism in this very life, namely, he wins nibbana. Thereupon the Exalted One gave utterance to this verse of uplift. Thoughts trite and subtle, taking shape, cause mind to be elated. Man, ignorant of these, with whirling brain strays to and fro. But knowing them, ardent and mindful, checks these thoughts of mind. For in mind's elation cometh not to pass, the enlightened sage abandons utterly these thoughts of mind, that none remain.